Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution
and rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 20th day of April, year 2016, and we've entitled tonight's program, Veteran Forgiveness. We do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. If you wish to get information on health, current events, recommended websites, or even possibly to help with a small donation, you can go to our website. It's still up, byyahwehsdesign.com. If you have a comment, question, or constructive criticism, please send it to this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And again, we thank all of you for inviting us into your homes, into your cars, etc., for 90 minutes to share with you both what the Father has to say about things that are going on and to report as truthfully as possible on current events. We also want to say thank you to the few out there that have supported us, and it's very much appreciated. Our common quote, or I should say our frequent quote of late, has been this one from the past, Mr. Thomas Jefferson, the populist: when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I might want to remind everybody that this term injustice, that would include the murder of Lavoie Finicum by elements of the United States government in Oregon. That would include the murder of Randy Weaver and his family members in the cabin up in Idaho. That would include the murder of the Branch Davidians, including 17 little children. That would include the hundreds that died, including hundreds of children, in the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. All of these staged events by elements of our own government. And it most certainly would include the men and women in the Twin Towers in New York City and the brave policemen and firemen who gave their lives, all in a staged terrorist event by elements of this rogue government in collusion with the rogue criminal government of its ally across the ocean. Of course, New York City and Washington, D.C. pretty much constitute Tel Aviv West, when the one over there is Tel Aviv East, because these criminals, known as Jews to some people, have indeed been complicit in many crimes. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk a little bit about veteran forgiveness is because of some information that was passed on to me by our friend Joe Cortina. Joe Cortina is a former Green Beret, Special Forces. He was a commander. He was also, for a time, a trainer within the command. And he is very outspoken about the Israeli Jews and what they have done over the seas and here in our own country. And for that, I respect him a lot. And his book, John 8:44, Exposing the Sons of Satan, there's three volumes to that. I highly recommend people order it. You can get it from Amazon. But it goes a long way to expose these people. But anyway, Joe had relayed to me some rather staggering information recently, and it's about the number of our military who are taking their own lives. And again, I'm basing this on Joe's research. Joe's a smart man. Joe's an honest man. I do not believe any of this to be fictitious. I've been hearing about a large percentage or a large amount of suicides within the military. I had no idea that it was to the extent that Joe and his research turned up. Long story short, the ratio of military men in the last, well, just over two decades in all of these made-up wars for profit out of Washington, D.C., probably since the Vietnam War. But anyway, he came up with a ratio between the number of people in the military who died due to combat compared to the number who took their own lives. So when we were conversing, he asked me to just take a guess, and I said, well, I would imagine it's like 5 combat deaths, maybe 10 combat deaths to every suicide. He said, no, you've got it all wrong. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's more like between 23 to 24 suicides for every combat death. That is outrageous. And so I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about the fact that many of us have committed sins. Sins are transgressions of Yahweh's law. That's what true sin means. And it got me thinking about our poor veterans. We've talked about the men and women in uniform, whether it's law enforcement or the military, off and on over the last 17 years. Me being a veteran, I'm very sympathetic to their cause. But when I heard that figure, it started me to think about why would so many of our young men and women take their own lives? What is it that they're having our men and women do that creates a situation to where they feel it isn't worth living anymore? That's the first thing I started thinking about. It wasn't to condemn them, to judge them. Again, my preference would be to have them seek help with one of our counselors or to contact me. If you know of a man or woman who's having troubles dealing with what's going on today, have them contact us. We're not perfect, but we do walk with the Father. I think those of you who have known us for the past 17 years on the radio know we're pretty consistent. Excuse me. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk to the best of our ability. And my heart goes out to the men and women out there who have been betrayed by those who should be people that we could trust. Now, those of us that know the identity message, we know who the enemy is and we know why they have betrayed our men and women in uniform. It's in their nature. It's what they do. That doesn't forgive them. That doesn't give them a pass. In fact, my imprecatory prayer is that their days be numbered to be very short. But at least knowing our identity, we know who the enemy is, even within the Pentagon, even within the police departments and other law enforcement agencies. And we understand why they're doing what they do. They have a plan. They have an agenda. But for the men and women in uniform who are either oblivious to this or they wake up to it late and realize that they have sinned against man and against our Heavenly Father by obeying ungodly, unjust, immoral orders. They have committed grievous sins. And these sins are even against themselves when they actually think about it, because they're part of the human race. They're part of the mankind that was put here by the Father. And when they commit these crimes against other people, innocent people, it will weigh heavy on their minds. And I believe that's why there is such a huge increase in the number of men and women in uniform who are taking their lives. And shame on our leadership. Shame on the people who claim to be rightful leaders within our society. Now, I know the enemy is peppered in amongst the leadership, and they don't care. They don't have a conscience, and they don't care. Just as Joe Cortina points out so vividly in his book, and there's many other books, including the Bible, and the words of Christ himself. Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. Speaking of the Jews. So the Jews that have infiltrated our government and infiltrated our military, they have no problem sending our men and women into combat and other situations to take innocent lives, because it doesn't bother them. It's all part of the plan. These are the same people that have no problem with the disastrous food they put on the shelves of the stores coming from these giant corporate farms. They could make good food if they wanted to, but they choose not to because profits are better if they put the cheap poison on the shelf instead of the good stuff. After all, we're just useless eaters. We're just here to be bilked and raped and robbed for their benefit. And that includes our men and women in uniform. And I think it's disgusting. And that's why I say, if you know a man or a woman who struggles with what's going on today and what they're being ordered to do, or maybe that they've already done, they need to know that Father Yahweh understands all this. That's why Yahweh said that he would put our sins, our transgressions, and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah for that, people. And I want our men and women in uniform to understand that you're not alone. Virtually every one of us has broken a law. Sometimes many of his laws. Sometimes big ones, sometimes little ones. But virtually every one of his children have violated his law at some point. What I'm trying to say is, do not take your own lives, please. We need as many of us as we can muster to straighten out the great wrongs that have been done in this world. Your precious soul doesn't need to be forsaken because of what the enemy has done. Their time is short. But in the meantime, you have forgiveness waiting for you. But please understand one thing. Yahweh does not condone coming to the knowledge that you need to repent of your sins. He doesn't condone those who realize this and then go forward and commit the sin further. So be very, very clear about that. It's like the parable of the man who put his hands to the plow, but he kept looking backwards. It's also very similar to Lot's wife when she left Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot, but as they were leaving to get out of the cities before they were destroyed, she kept looking back and turned into a pillar of salt. It's all euphemisms to let you know that once you pick the direction, meaning once you decide that you want forgiveness, he will give you the forgiveness if you repent. And again, repentance means to change the way you think. In other words, change your priorities. Change what's important in your life. Now, I realize you're in a tough spot. You really are, because you're so-called under contract. But I want everybody to understand that there's a higher power. Even our founding fathers realized that. Now, I know these creatures in the Pentagon, and these creatures in Washington, and these creatures at the state level, many times, are antichrists. And they will try to convince you that you owe allegiance to do whatever they say, without question. Not in Yahweh's army. That's not the rule. That's not the rule. King David, when he led his men into battle, Joshua, when he led his men into battle, Gideon, when he led his men into battle, Abraham led his men into battle. Notice I said led, not pushed, not give orders from some office somewhere buried in a reinforced concrete building that you have to go out and suffer and die and do the dirty deeds while they sit back and reap the profits. Real men lead into battle. I remember reading years ago about a story that in ancient times, when a king thought there was a event or a circumstance that required battle, he would go to some high point, whether it be on a hillside or a man-made structure or whatever, but some point where he could get up high enough that his men could see him and hear him. And he would tell his soldiers what was going on and why he felt it was time to fight. And the story goes that the men would have their shields and their swords at their sides while they listened to him. And if they agreed with the king, they would raise up their shields and swords, and they would take the sword and they would beat it against the shield. So obviously this would make a rather loud noise, thousands upon thousands of soldiers beating their shields with their swords. This was an indication that this was not a singular individual's agenda that was going to be played out, that the men in the field, the men that would do the fighting and the dying, agreed that their leader was correct and that they would fight at his side and support his decisions. And once he had his men's approval, he would get down off of the high place and once again lead his men into battle. I find it incredulous when I read the stories of these damnable communist Khazar Jews who get into positions of power and make decisions that end up costing young men and women their lives, whether we're going back to World War I and World War II or up to the recent activities over in the Middle East. They make decisions that benefit their fellow travelers, their fellow Jews who are in the military-industrial complex or in banking. They make decisions that will benefit Israel and will benefit the Jews because they don't give a damn about our boys in uniform. That's just being frank. And again, I'm only repeating what Christ told us 2,000 years ago, but somehow we seem to have forgotten that. I guess it could be because the preachers forgot to tell us. Because the seminary has been training them that Jesus is a beatnik and a love freak. He just loves everybody. Don't you know? He just wants everybody just to come around him so he can just pat him on the head and just, oh, it's all forgiven. Just come right in here and sit right next to me. I just love everybody. Can't we just all get along? That's what they teach. Is that the Christ of the Bible? Not even close. So I would warn you that if you're being preached to or taught by somebody with a degree from a seminary, you probably should be asking yourself a lot of very serious questions. Because if they came out of a seminary, I call them cemeteries, for the same reason I call churches whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, because pretty much that's what all of them are. So if these pusillanimous preachers, these whores, just like the mainstream media is nothing but whores anymore, so are most of the preachers. They're not teaching what Yahshua told us. They're not even teaching anything out of the Old Testament, where all of the laws and all of the requirements on how to keep us safe. You know, the word salvation in the scripture is both Hebrew and Greek. That's talking about saving you from physical harm here and now. The preacher's got this thing that it's all spiritual. This is a salvation to give you eternal life. I got news for you. We came from above. We're going back there when we die. It's got nothing to do with saving the spiritual. He put the rule book here to save us from our enemies on this earth. How to conduct warfare, how to conduct agriculture, how to conduct civil affairs, monetary affairs, government affairs. For instance, an alien of your race and your faith is never to be in a position of government, ever. What does that mean? Well, you could pretty much wipe Washington, D.C. out, because I don't know that there's any true believers in Yahweh of the white race left there. Every picture I see on CNN or C-SPAN or whatever, where these quacks and charlatans and traitors are getting together to decide our fate, I don't see us represented there. I really don't. And that being the case, they are illegitimate. Even our founding fathers were quite clear that this is our European nation. And if you want to hold public office, you have to be free, male, white, and a believer, and be educated in the law, meaning the scriptures. Now, a lot of people think that sounds ridiculous, but that's how we started out. When America was great, America was moral, America was a light unto the world, a country that people praised, looked up to, wanted to be part of, that was the rule. As the Jews came into our country and attained power and control of the media, somehow they convinced our ancestors that that just wasn't fair. Well, I got news for you. Yahweh doesn't care about fair. Never has, never will. And because of all of these transgressions by many of us, now our men and women in uniform are being used to do things that are atrocious, criminal. And I think especially those with a soul and a conscience, it's bothering them. It's bothering them what they see and yet feel they can't resist. What they see and don't believe that they can speak out about it. You're trapped, brothers and sisters. I understand that. But one of these days, in the very near future, Yahweh is going to open a door for you to make a choice. You see, the world is waking up to who these people are. These misfits, these liars, these cheats, these rapists and robbers and pedophiles that have risen to the top. They're being exposed. And there's a large number of these misfits that have gotten into positions of authority over our military and police forces. They too will be exposed. So right now it feels as if you're trapped, but I'm trying to tell you to hang on. Yahweh knows your heart. He knows your situation. He does not forsake those who love him. Trust not on your own understanding, but put all of your faith in Yahweh. And I know it's difficult, but please, it's never the right thing to take your life. Pray. Pray as if it all depends on Father Yahweh, and then act as if it all depends on you. You see, our walk through this world is going to be a short one, at best. At best. What you want to be concerned with is, what do you take with you when you leave here? Do you hand the Father a life of acquiescence and obedience to tyrants that order you to do things that are morally wrong? Or do you stand before the God of heaven and say, yeah, that was my job, however, they were not good people. They were your enemies, Father Yahweh. And I did everything I could to bring them down and to join with the other brave men and women of Yahweh as they work to bring them down. Use your life for good, brothers and sisters. Don't throw it away. It's far too precious. Far, far too precious. And I know it weighs heavy on you. It must. To have a figure of 23, between 23 and 24 for every combat death, 23 to 24 take their own lives, it's got to be hellish. Far worse than it even was during Vietnam when I was in. Because now people are waking up to the treason. People understand the levels of deception and criminality that these people have. And it's causing great consternation. But you got to understand something. These are signs of the end of the age. Not the end of the world, the end of the age. Which means Yahweh has a plan of redemption for this poor old earth that has been victimized and abused and polluted. There's a cleansing coming, and it's not just to cleanse away these evil and rotten people. There's also a cleansing of this earth that is coming. You want to be part of that, or at least I would hope you would want to be. So try to remember that. Father is not a hateful, condemning father. Not unless you willingly choose to be a tool of Satan. That's a different story. If you know that you're working for Satan's kids and the things they're having you do are outright evil, and you willingly and absolutely have no problem with doing the will of these kind of people, well, you're going to take the same rewards that they're going to get here soon. But if you really, really want out, if you really want Father to open a door for you, trust on Him. He will do it. And I would ask all of our listeners, as this goes around the world, that you hear my voice, that you would be part of a army of prayer warriors that would lift up those in active duty today. The tremendous pressures that are on them because of this absolutely wacky world that we have here, this Luciferian chaos that we find ourselves in. It is difficult. Hold them up in prayer, folks. They are still our brothers and sisters. And pray that they come out from Babylon with the rest of us, because Babylon's getting ready to have its knees taken out. They will bow to the living God. They think they're gods unto themselves. They think their Lucifer is going to save them. Not a chance. Don't go down with those folks. And don't take your own life. Join the team that's going to end up winning this thing. And let's make our lives worthwhile. As it says in Scripture in the Proverbs, it's very, very clear. It is better to be harmed for doing good than it is to be harmed for doing evil. Make it your goal to do good for yourselves, for those you love, and for this world. Do good, not evil. And if harm does come to us, it's by Father's design, so be it. Not to worry, so be it. Personally, I think Father's seen enough of our people's martyrdoms, rapes and murders, property theft, etc. I think it's time to turn the table. It's time that the righteous take a stand. In that valley of dead and dry bones, repent of their sins and take on the Spirit of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit that He promised those that love Him. Take that on and you will become a new man or woman in Yahweh. That's what Ezekiel 37 is talking about. Because once you take on His Spirit and you repent, and He opens your eyes, which He will do, and the Holy Spirit will be your counselor, you're a new creature in Yahweh. You will see things differently. And you will also see that He does not forsake His own. Never has, never will. Got a few verses I want to read, and we're going to get on to some other things that are going on today, but like I said, brothers and sisters in uniform, take heart. And the rest of us have you in our prayers every day for your safety, your well-being, and that Yahweh will open that door so that you can come out from that hellish situation that you find yourself in. Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 8. Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed Yahweh our God's voice to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. Praise Yahweh. We don't do this alone. We don't fight this fight alone, folks. And again, a reminder from Psalm chapter 9, verse 9. Yahweh will also be a high tower for the oppressed, a high tower in times of trouble. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Yahweh, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to Yahweh who dwells in Zion, and declare among the people what He has done. Interestingly enough, we talked about the erection of that archway that's supposedly the entrance into the Temple of Baal that was going to be erected in Times Square. Well, apparently, they've had a change of heart. Now, I'm not so sure that this is legitimate, but supposedly the media is saying that the Luciferians have decided, because of the outcry, that they're not going to bring the archway of the actual Temple of Baal. Instead, it'll be the archway to the colonnade that leads to the Temple of Baal. Isn't that special? So, they look very similar. And I'm not an expert of Palmyra, Syria, where this temple was erected. Maybe some of you are, and you could send me a note and let me know what you think. But I would be suspicious, because Lucifer's kids don't give up, not very easily. So they may be just using a different term for the exact same archway. But they're going to call it something different. Just like in many communities now, they don't use Section 8 to describe the subsidized housing. They call it something different because too many people are wise to the Section 8 and what it does to your community. So they just changed the name. It's the same exact process. And I got a feeling these arches that they want to put up are going to be exactly the same arches that they were going to put up before. But they're telling everybody, because what's the average person know as far as the arches in Palmyra, which one's which? The average person doesn't know. So they're going to believe these liars in the media and these liars in New York City that says, oh, we've changed our mind, we're going to use this other archway, as if that somehow makes it better. I don't trust them. But we shall see, won't we? But it does show that a lot of people apparently have been complaining, because now they feel they have to change horses, so to speak. Their goal is still going to be the same. That's why they're taking President Andrew Jackson off of our $20 bills and putting on, what's her name, Tubman, the supposedly a slave, black woman. And so they're going to take off one of our greatest presidents, Andrew Jackson, and they're going to put a black woman slave on a $20 bill. Isn't that special? And I can see why the bankers, the Jews in Washington, D.C., and the Jews in New York City don't like Andrew Jackson, because he was the president that kicked the central bank out of this country when it was young, because he said they're nothing but a den of vipers and thieves. Well, that's right. Andrew Jackson knew his Bible. He knew who he was dealing with, Nakash serpent people. And he said, I'm not going to allow you to destroy our country with your central bank. Would to God that our men that were in charge had retained the kind of courage and foresight that Andrew Jackson had and kept the central bankers out. But eventually they found weak men, weak-willed men, effeminate men, and greedy men. The love of money is the root of all evil. So they kept trying until they found enough reprobates amongst our people that would take a bribe and allow them to establish their damnable central bank. But I find it interesting that they want to do that, because this is just another flaunting in the face of the white man that you're a conquered people. Just like them trying to tear down all of the Confederate monuments and to say that the Confederate battle flag is a racist symbol. No, the racists are in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Tel Aviv. That's where the racists are. They want racial strife, and they're also, at the same time, they want to destroy the white man and his culture, especially the Christian culture, everywhere they can. So, it's just one more brick in our wall that they're dismantling, and they're flaunting it in your face. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, being as this is April 20th, we can't let it go by without saying happy birthday. A lot of people say, well, what do you mean happy birthday? Well, happy birthday to Adolf Hitler. Now, I was having a discussion with several of my neighbors here a few nights ago, and we got talking about the crazy things going on in the country and everything else, and somehow the conversation got turned to World War II, because we were talking about the fact that we've been lied to about so many things, and I made the statement that we were lied to about World War II and about Germans, and in particular about Adolf Hitler. And I got the typical rolling of the eyes and, oh, you're going to tell me this didn't happen and that didn't happen. And it didn't take very long before they realized that I've been studying and reading on these subjects for a very long time. And even though they're friends of mine, I told them, I said, if you're going to be upset with what I say based on your emotional response, because you haven't really looked into this at all, I says, you're going to have to understand something. I really don't care what you think. And I don't care what you think of me. I've done the research. I've interviewed the people that lived in Germany. And I've read the books by the historians who tell historicity instead of a story made up by Jews and other misfits after the war was over. The victor always makes themselves look like they're angels. So I pointed out to them some of the things that Mike King has been writing about, and Brother Nathaniel's pointed out. And he's not right about everything, of course, but he does have some interesting things to say about that that topic. And there's many other authors, and there's many other websites and all with tons and tons of information. Same thing with Mike Walsh, our guest from a few weeks ago. He's got a lot of writings and material on that as well. The point of it is that we've been lied to about all this stuff. And it's to our chagrin, because, as I told them, I had relatives that lost their life in that war. I've got a cousin buried in France that died during the Battle of the Bulge. It's a personal thing with me. My family is half German. It's a personal thing. I said, if it was true, that would be one thing. But many of these things were being told about the Germans from 1920 to 1945 just isn't so. And what I've come to find out is the Americans, the French, and the English fought the only nation who was ever dedicated to destroying communism. In other words, we stopped the German army, who was hell-bent on stopping the red tide, the red communists of Russia, from going into Europe. They were stopping them, and we stopped the Germans. Therefore, we are to blame for the multiple hundreds of millions who have died at the hands of the bloody communists. Yeah, we have their blood on our hands. All because of the lies that the propagandists told us. And I went on to tell them, I said, you know, it's no different. Adolf Hitler was no different than Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi. I said, when they were doing the dirty work that our CIA wanted them to do, they were great guys. They were getting millions upon millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars thrown at them. They were getting all kinds of billions of dollars of military hardware, ammunition, guns, etc., because they were doing the dirty work our CIA and State Department wanted them to do. But eventually they got to be so powerful and so popular in their lands that they actually thought they could do a good thing for their own people. Muammar Gaddafi was going to set up a banking system, and his dinar was going to be gold-backed. Ooh, central bankers didn't like that. So they pull the strings on their puppets in Washington, D.C., pull the strings on their puppets in the media, and all of a sudden, Muammar Gaddafi is an evil, evil man, and we must have regime change. They did the same thing with Saddam Hussein when he said he was going to keep the reserve, the oil money for his oil and other resources for the Iraqi people. He said, enough of this U.S. corporations and banks taking away all the profits. My people are still poor. Well, guess what? Same thing happens. And by the way, these aren't all my thoughts on these things. Go read the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Okay? There was an insider. He was one of the guys that they sent in to undo people like Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi and many others. Go read the book, The Brothers, about Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles. It's in the library. It's at Amazon. Go get it. I got a copy on my shelf right out of the book. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in America. These creatures, and I have no other word that you can use for people with black hearts, no souls. They are creatures. They're not part of humankind. No, they're not. They don't have the milk of human kindness within them. All they care about is serving their masters, the Jews. All they care about is making money. And again, all you got to do, read it. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, The Brothers, John Foster and Alan Dulles. And Alan Dulles, by the way, the misfit, the piece of dirt that he was, is the whole reason we even have a CIA. And you know why? Because after World War I, he didn't want to go back to doing a regular kind of job. He liked being a spy. And so he used his brother, John Foster, to put political pressure on the White House and other congressmen to allocate the funds and approve the formation of a permanent espionage agency. Was there a threat from the outside that needed to have an agency like that? Nope. No threat. Just Alan Dulles wanted to keep on living the lifestyle of a playboy with taxpayer money flowing out of his pockets and playing the espionage game, spying on people, making regime change wherever his masters at the law firm where he and his brother John Foster were employees prior to getting into government. Then they found they had more power and could do more dirty deeds for their masters if they were in the U.S. government. And again, it's all in the book, The Brothers. Not my words, the author's words. You see, the world's waking up to this. We're waking up to this corruption. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's like, where does it stop? Where does it stop? When do the good people of this earth decide they've had enough? Because these people can only control us as long as we allow them. As long as you allow their brainwashing and their psychological warfare that they play on us through the media, as long as you allow that to have power over your brain and the way you think, that's all they've got. That's why they're panicking right now. They're panicking. There's actually a body of good men and women who have decided to use their talents and their resources to oppose these Zionist pigs. That scares them. They're sitting around going, uh-oh, our propaganda is not working. What are we going to do? They're starting to see through our mountain of lies and deceptions. They're starting to see us for the creatures that we really are. Murderers, thieves, pedophiles, sex slave trade, children's sacrifice, you name it. These misfits are into it. And I pray Yahweh to continue to bless the whistleblowers. Bless the women and men who've decided enough is enough. As Laura Ferrez Wilson likes to say, hey folks, none of us are getting out of this thing alive. I got news for you. You know, the media wants to make it look like these doctors and their wonder drugs and their surgeries can keep you around for a long time, yet the lifespan's not going up, it's going down. The quality of life is going way down. Yeah, they're keeping bodies alive longer, but the quality of life isn't there. They're just keeping your heart pumping and your brain waves going. That's it. That's it. They help you get over the cancer for a while, and then all of a sudden it comes back, and oh, now you got to do this again. You're in there for knee replacements, hip replacements. You're in there to get your bowels cut out every 2 to 3 years with irritable bowel syndrome. When the whole time we know what causes those things. And they are fixable. But there's no money in it. Just ask the naturopathic doctors and like the doctor that helped my son. Same thing. They're not rich men. They make a living. They're not starving, but they're not rich men. And yet they know how to actually fix these problems. We are making people rich that simply put a Band-Aid on the problem and keep the problem going. so that you come back. You see, those Mercedes payments aren't cheap. That 6,000 square foot palatial house is not cheap. So selling you herbs or telling you to change your lifestyle and your eating habits, that doesn't pay the bills. And after all, these people are egomaniacs. They actually think they are like gods, because that's what the 8 years of medical school and all the schooling afterwards, it's what they want you to think. You're part of the team now. Keep the sheep dumb, okay? Just keep your mouth shut and go along with the program. We've got the laws in there to cover your incompetency and your malpractice. The pharmaceutical companies will make sure you get all the training you need as long as you keep pumping their pills. Just go along. The same thing they do with the congressmen that go into Washington, D.C. Hey, buddy, you got a good thing going here. You play along, we'll make sure you make some money. You get in our way. You remember that guy, Vince Foster? You remember that guy named Hubble? You remember the kids in Arkansas that saw the deals going on at the airfield that just somehow ended up in front of a train? Clintonized. Okay, so just remember that. Remember John F. Kennedy? He thought he could do something on his own to fix things. That's what they tell the Congress people. I got that straight from a congressman. So don't sit there and go, oh, Dan, you make this stuff up. No, I don't. I don't make anything up. Don't have to. You don't have to make anything up. You just have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to what you see going on around you. And you have to ask the hard questions. And you have to be willing to hear the truth. Well, that one right there leaves a lot of our people out. They're just like what the scripture says. They want their ears tickled. Tickle, 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 tickle. Tell me the things that sound good. Make me feel good. Yeah, don't tell me bad news. Don't be a Debbie Downer. Don't tell me things that aren't pleasing. Don't tell me I'm doing something wrong. My doctor doesn't say I'm doing anything wrong. He just says, take this pill and go home. Yeah, you see what I mean? But here's the good news. Father is going to perform a reset, both for the earth that we have completely abused and for mankind that has been completely abused. There's a reset coming. Now, if you're part of the crowd who likes your ears tickled, doesn't want to be bothered, I'm enjoying watching this damnable Talmud vision and following these idiotic professional sports, so don't bother me. I don't want to have to listen to talk radio. I don't want to have to read a book. I don't want to do any of that. Just leave me alone. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But you've just identified yourself as a goat, and you're going to go the same way as the tares, which means you're not going to be around much longer. Me personally, I'm glad you're leaving. Okay? I'm not going to shed a tear for you. No, I'm beyond that. I'm going to be waving goodbye and saying good riddance to bad rubbish. Good riddance to you. If you're that stupid, if you're that lame, if you're that cowardly, that you want to be part of this drama that's unfolding before us, you don't deserve our sympathy. Now, what's it say in Scripture? Oh, that's right. Scripture says that at the end of the age, when the Ezekiel 37 army and that Gideon force takes to the field with their sharp swords and the elders with the inkhorns, we're not to have any mercy. No forgiveness, no mercy. You see, at that time, it's equivalent to the door going up on the ark in Noah's day. That was the sign that there is no repentance from this point forward. The rain is coming, the righteous are on board, and you're going to die. The end of the age is just like the days of Noah. That's what the scripture says. So in effect, you have a small window of opportunity, people, to repent, beg for forgiveness of Father, and have a change of heart, which is called repentance, and a change of way of thinking. If you do that, the storehouses of heaven are going to open up unto you. You're going to feel the flood that comes over the body that accepts the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of sin. You're going to feel that. Then go down and get baptized and feel it even more when you make the outward symbolic gesture of an inward conversion. That's what baptism is. It's an outward expression of what's already happened on the inside. You're going to feel that. Even in this crazy screwed up world that we're in, you're going to feel that if you make that confession, if you accept the work of Christ at Calvary. Now, he's headed back, and he's not coming back like a carpenter. He's not coming back at the mercy of the Antichrist, not this time. So you got to say to yourself, which army do I want to be part of? The wicked ones? The evil ones? Or do I want to be part of that righteous army? Decision's yours. Decision is yours. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we see these words. He allowed no man to do them wrong. Talking about us, his sons and daughters. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. He reproved kings. That's the highest level in the government. Well, whatever form of government you want. You could substitute prime minister. You could substitute king, queen, president. Doesn't matter. It's symbolic. King symbolizes the top of the food chain when it comes to the governing of a land. He reproves those people for the sake of his anointed and his prophets. So do we worry about the weapons being formed against us? I don't. Scripture is very clear that any weapon formed against us will not prevail. Makes it pretty simple. You see, everybody else wants to sit around here and worry about satellite spying, cell towers doing this, EMFs doing that, CIA and NSA can do this and that. You know what I tell them? I hope they are listening. I really do, because am I part of Yahweh's army? You better believe it. Am I going to take up a sword when he says it's time and go after these people? You better believe it. I'm part of his army. As well as millions and millions of others who love the Father more than life here on this earth. So, am I your enemy? Not really. If you just would do the right thing for the right reason, you wouldn't have to worry about us. But you're evil. You're evil. You do all kinds of things that are absolutely, disgustingly evil. So, am I somebody you should worry about? Well, actually not, because I'm just a man. Yahweh's going to accomplish this with or without me. So am I a threat? No, not really. But the fact that I'm here and the fact that I represent millions of other people, I think that bothers them. You see, I've been just given the opportunity and the honor by Yahweh himself to have this chance to speak to millions of people around the world. In that sense, okay, maybe I'm a little different. But Yahweh can raise up people anywhere to do the same thing. In fact, that's happening. As I'm scouring through the different channels, listening to the different talk shows, there's lots of people saying the same things as we are. This is that time that Yahweh says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's right before the end. That's how come we know we're at the end of this earth age. It's not the end of the world. Well, I should say, it's not the end of the world for Yahweh's people. For those who love the Father and do righteousness, it's not the end for them. It is the end of the world for the unrighteous. So when they say the end of the world is coming, well, yeah, their world is going to end. This raping and pillaging of mankind and this poor earth, that's going to come to an end. And they're going to be buried in the dirt where they belong. So for them, the world is coming to an end. For us, a new heaven and a new earth, replenished and cleansed and set right, is what we look forward to. See the difference? It's all a matter of perspective. It's just like when these cretins down at the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL or any of these other Jewish organizations label the patriotic American as a domestic terrorist. Well, you as the listener to this garbage, it's your responsibility to discern what they're saying. Because you should realize you're talking to a Jewish organization. A bunch of Israelis who are saying that Christian men and women of the white race, the people that founded this country, who believe in the Bible and believe in the Second Amendment, they're calling us domestic terrorists. Well, they should. You see, they're Jews. We are a threat to them. They are the Antichrist. The Bible says that all the way through it, that we are to be enemies of his enemies, just like King David. I count your enemies as my enemies, and I hate them with a perfect hatred. Do I hate God's enemies? You better believe I do. And so should you. That's one of the ways you can tell you're on the right team. You should hate the workers of iniquity. You shouldn't be begging them for a bribe. You shouldn't be begging them for a pay raise. You shouldn't be begging them for a higher position within their company or their corporation. Hell no! You should be doing everything you can to destroy them. That's how Yahweh knows the difference. You see, this world is a test. This sojourning through this earth for the brief time we're here is a test, people. Do you honestly believe this is all there is to it? Tell me you're not that silly, please. You don't, in your heart of hearts, realize that how insignificant we are in the big picture of things? We truly are. And yet Yahweh loves us to the point where he sacrificed himself as Yeshua to redeem us. He set up this whole program. He's the creator. He's allowed to do that. People say, well, that doesn't sound like a very nice God. Really? Well, are you going to argue with the creator? Because that's what you're doing. It's his plan. It's got nothing to do with you and me. It's his plan. He set it up this way from the beginning. And we're here because it's part of his plan. What you do here is what you control. What you do with what he gave you is your gift back to him. He gave you life here in this enclosure called the earth. He gave you life here. That's his gift to you. Whether you like it or not, whether you've been blessed or not, doesn't matter. He gave it to you. He's wanting to see what are you going to do with it. What kind of an attitude are you going to have? One of thankfulness? or are you going to bitch and moan about everything? Are you going to appreciate the things that Yahweh gives you, or are you just going to come back to him like a genie in a bottle? Well, I don't have enough money. My house isn't big enough. My cars aren't new enough. My TV isn't as big as it should be. I need a higher position in the corporation where I work. You see the difference? Do you show appreciation for the gifts of Father, or do you just bitch for more? Or do you acquiesce and take up the worship of Lucifer and his kids and think that they'll be your God? Either way, you're in trouble. Big, big trouble. Like I said, there's a huge, huge awakening going on. And the Chinese gold-backed yuan was just announced. And from what I've read, they will not accept our worthless counterfeit Federal Reserve notes in payment for their gold-backed money. That's what I heard. I'm still waiting for confirmation on that. Regardless of their motives and their agenda, because I'm not over there, I don't know what the Chinese are up to. Is it within their right to do it? Absolutely. Do they have a right to be fed up of our Jewish bankers over here and the Jewish international bankers and the death grip they've had on finance for hundreds of years? Every nation has that right. So is it quite possible that the Chinese got together with the Russians and maybe people in Brazil and South Africa and a few other countries and said, we don't need the Jewish Babel bucks, the Babylonian money system of the eighth beast. We don't need it. We can create our own. Instead of them reaping the profits off the sweat, blood, and tears of the people of the world, we'll just go around them. Now, this is different. When Abraham Lincoln suggested something like that, they killed him. When John F. Kennedy suggested something like that, they killed him. When Ronald Reagan looked like he might be headed in that direction, they attempted to kill him. He got the message, though. You see how that works? Well, you're trying to take out one guy, one man alone. Okay, well, yeah, you can do that. Let me see you do that to an entire nation or group of nations. You know, you Jews are full of yourself. You really are. You're sitting on trillions of dollars, but it's all counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. Are you listening, Mr. Soros and Mr. Murdoch and Mr. Rothschild? You guys are fake. You believe your own BS, your own propaganda. You're scum. You're worms. You're maggots. Oh, yeah, you could hire somebody to do your dirty deeds for you if they think your money's worth anything. But here's the beauty of the new system coming out. It's showing that their money system isn't worth anything. Never has been. It's been a mind game all along. They've bought up how many businesses, how many homes, how many cottage industries, how many farms, how many ranches, because people thought that Babylonian money system was for real. No, it's not. It's a mind game. The rest of the world's waking up to it. Maybe it's time the people in America and Canada and the rest of the white world wake up to it. These Rothschild Jewish bankers are the sons of Satan. Just like Christ said. You know, add that to their list of murders too. Christ threw them out of the temple and said, you're not going to use my temple as a money house. You're not going to set it up to sell your damnable produce in my temple. And he exposed them for being the sons of Satan, doing the works of Satan. So they had him killed. They didn't want to give it up. So you killed Messiah 2,000 years ago. You've killed many men in between who tried to do something for their countries, including the man whose birthday is today. All because of your love of money. That's all you are. You're scumbags. Your God is gold. But you personally, you have no integrity whatsoever. You have no honesty whatsoever. You have no milk of human kindness whatsoever. All you are is your money. Even the people that you think are your friends, it's only because of your money. You're actually detestable people. You're disgusting. You're ugly inside and out. You only have what your money will buy you because you're despicable people. And you've gotten away with it up till now because people want your money. But the world's waking up to you. They don't want your money. Scripture backs that up. They'll throw their gold and silver into the streets. They're not going to buy your junk anymore. Have you noticed the vessels aren't floating on the ocean full of Jewish junk made with slave labor in foreign countries just so they can make bigger profits? I think I'll stick with praising Yahweh. And even though I don't have much, at least I worked for what I do have. Ain't much, but at least it's honest. And the people that call me friend, they're friends. They'll still be here whether I have money or not. And actually, I know they're friends because I don't have any money. So it couldn't be the money they're after. But the best friend I have at all is Yahweh himself. Just like Scripture says, Yeshua will stick closer than a friend. He's closer than a friend. The best friend you could possibly have is Messiah himself. Because he's true. He's true, always honest, unlike our people. I wish to God that we were. I would say, as many of the commentators I've been listening to have been saying for the past few days, if you're going to make any preparations for an economic hard time, and for God's sakes, at least have 1 month. We've been telling people have at least enough for 2, 3 to 4, 6 months, but now we're running out of time. And the economy's not good, in spite of what they say. So many of our people don't have a lot of extra cash, but do you have enough that you could put stuff away for at least a month? So you're not part of these crowds of the idiots that are doing nothing but watching idiotic Talmud vision and following sports and drinking their booze till they're silly and go home and sleep it off and do it all over the next day. They haven't done a damn thing to research anything, get ready. Shame on them. Shame on them. But you should do as much as you can to at least have a month. A lot of the mayhem is going to die down within a month. There'll be some more. Like I said, every military guy I conferred with agreed that minimum 3 months, better to have 6 months. Of course, a year would be great, but most people don't have the resources or even the storage for a year worth of it. But 3 to 6 months should be your goal. But at this point in time, with as crazy as it's getting, focus on a month. Because if you focus on the bigger one, you're going to get discouraged. You're not going to do a damn thing. You're just like people in natural health when we're trying to help them. You want me to drink how many ounces of clean water? Okay, start out with 8 ounces. Can you do that? 8 ounces, a cup? Can you do a cup of clean water a day? Believe it or not, there's people out there that don't drink any water. And they wonder why they got health problems. So start out small. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Yeah, it's a big job, but eventually you'll get the whole thing eaten. But you got to do it one bite at a time. I've been really happy to see the progress of Eurofolk Radio. And praise Yahweh for Eli and Paul and the other folks that are helping out with that. Because it was our vision over a year ago, when, well, they've been on for longer than that, but when I became part of it, the goal, my goal anyway, was that Eurofolk Radio would be a go-to place to hear the news and hear the truth. Because we're not talking just about the truth about the politics of what's going on. We're including what the good book says. Aren't very many people on the internet doing that. There aren't very many alternative media sources that are doing that, combining the two. Because how do you not combine the two? You got to have them both, folks. There is no victory outside of Yahweh. I hate to tell you this. You guys that like to denigrate the Bible and call it a Jewish book, shame on you. It's not a Jewish book. They're interlopers. They're no different than Albert Einstein. He was a thief. He worked in a patent office. He was an idiot. It's just like this guy in the White House today. He's a freaking idiot. Please, wake the hell up, will you? It's no wonder the Jews think they've got this thing in the bag, because they've pulled the wool over our eyes for so long, and we haven't got the sense that God gave to the animal kingdom to ask the right questions and to look out for ourselves. Shame on us. Shame on us. Don't follow their lies and their propaganda. Father put that book for thousands of years. Our people have been here. We are the people of the Bible. Today we're called Caucasians. Back in the old days we were called Israelites. Not Jews. They're not us. We're not them and they're not us. No, 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 no. Not even close. So don't lump them in there. In fact, I would give out the warning once again. If you got any kind of a political party or a militia or any kind of group of concerned people trying to fix the problems, you'd better make sure there isn't a Jew in your organization at any level. I'm going to tell you that one more time because it's important. You better make sure, and you men out there at arms, this is vitally important for you. No Jew at any level. I hope you're hearing me. Satan's kids do what they do. It's in their DNA. Christ said they were condemned already. He meant there is no salvation for them. None. They have black hearts the same as their father. Diablos, the devil. So you make sure whatever you put together has none of them in it. And there's ways of doing that. Let me do a little time check here. Oop, we're almost over. Maybe I'll sign off a little early here and play you another song. Let me see. I had a couple of them here. I think there's one called Celtic Warrior that be in honor of our soldiers. If I can find it here real quick. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you for the blessings that we have. We thank you for the protections that you've provided. And we know there's a struggle coming, Father. But we also know that we were overcomers. We were meant to be overcomers. We shall be overcomers. We're staying close to you. We're holding on to your hand, Father. We're trusting not in our own understanding. I don't have a clue what's going to happen. I can tell you in general, but details, no. So, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And no matter what comes, we know it's by thy will. And we are your creation. We are your children. And we're looking to you for solutions. We're looking to you for forgiveness. Be our King. Be our Father. Be our lawgiver. Be our Savior. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Farewell to the soldiers' sons. Godspeed.